Hey, friend! Welcome to Perspectives into Practice, a place where life's stories meet practical wisdom. Together, we'll explore how faith-filled perspectives can transform the way we live, love, and grow. So grab a seat, settle in, and join us on this journey to turn inspiration into action. Let's dive in. Hey, friend. Welcome back to Perspectives into Practice. I'm really looking forward to this conversation today because it's one of those topics that meets us right where we are. That space where we feel called, we feel led, but the path doesn't quite make sense yet. If you've been listening for a while, you've probably heard me talk about the yes, but not quite season. And that's where you've said yes to God, but you're still waiting to see how he's going to move. You know he's leading you somewhere, but you don't have all the details yet. And that could be very uncomfortable, but it's also where so much growth happens. And what I love about today's conversation with my new friend Carolyn is that she heard about this episode and said, that's exactly where I am today. So today we're talking about what it really looks like to walk that out, to trust God when you feel the yes, even though you're still living in the not yet season. And Carolyn's story is such a beautiful reminder that when God calls you, he leads you, he confirms, and he provides. Welcome, Carolyn. I'm so glad that we finally get to do this.
Well, I'm excited too. Thank you. Thank you for this invitation.
Absolutely. I can't wait to dive in. But before we do that, y'all know I love a good fun fact. And Carolyn loves to climb stairs, go for walks, and ride her bike every single day. And I love that because it speaks so much to consistency, which I think we get too far away of. You know, she's showing up, she's moving one step at a time. And so, of course, I have to ask, do you have a favorite? Are you choosing the stairs every time you go? Or are you grabbing your bike with, you know, instead of a walk? What? Tell me all the things.
Well, I'm mostly walking, and it's because my fanny can only handle the bike maybe a couple of times.
I feel that. Yes.
I got a padded seat, and I've got padded shorts, and about twice a week, my fanny says, that's it.
But it's hilarious.
But if the weather, and I'm one of these nutty types, Jessica, so, I mean, ice storms, it doesn't matter, I'm out there. The only thing that stops me is lightning. So
okay.
People are like, I guess you just, you know, don't get any exercise. Oh, no. Nope, I've got this favorite. It's actually a cassette that has now become a CD because it got so messed up that I had to go to one of these places where they reconstruct. And it's pretty wild, but I just get out in the middle of my living room, go round, up, down the stairs, doing aerobic dance.
I love it. Lightning aerobic dance. That's a whole thing. That is so fun. But I love that you do that. I love that you stay consistent even when the storms come. And it just ties so beautifully into what we're talking about today. And that steady daily movement forward really is a lot like our walk with the Lord, because it's not always easy. It's not always fast, and it's not always clear, but he is always faithful. And so my first question really is, what does your yes, but not quite season look like right now?
Well, I'm laughing because it's a little different. So I have a very varied background, but currently the Lord has me in on two fronts, customer service and a car dealership of all things. I really enjoy helping our customers. And then on the other side, because I have more than one workplace, I'm the executive director of a nonprofit organization. So part of the week, I'm on the phone with a headset talking to customers about their car. And then the other part of the week, I'm in an office, you know, making sure everybody and everything gets paid. So,
yeah. Wow. That's two completely different worlds, really, too. Wow. Wow.
Totally. Not to mention that the car dealership, although it is your employee owned, so it's a family owned business, but it is a secular environment, while the nonprofit is Christian. And so, so really where the Lord has placed me, Jessica, is in an environment, when I'm at the car dealership, is in an environment where most of the people do not know the Lord, but are they're just desperately needy. And yet, you know, we'll keep, if we'll stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He will help us to know who our mission field is. I think one of the, and I'm probably going to step on somebody's toes, but this you want to interview me, right? So
that's right. Come on, bring it on.
You know what? There are people that will say, well, how do you know God's will? And then somebody will say, oh, well, wherever there's a need, you just go out and meet it. And I'm like, oh, no. Because every need is not God ringing your doorbell. But there are people that God has. And I found that if I'll be sensitive, He will get me to those people. So just to give you a quick example, just this morning, one of a young woman who actually has moved on from our dealership, out of the blue, she just starts to text me. And I got one of those texts this morning. And she's asking all kinds of questions about the Bible. Now, she is a Christian, but she's kind of young in her knowledge of the Bible. I don't know when she first came to Christ, but she's very young in her knowledge of the Bible. I was just astonished a few days ago, because these texts just started coming. And I said, well, I'm so honored that you'd reach out to me. She says, oh, she says, I've always seen you as, I can't remember how she put it, but the idea of being like a leader in the faith, something like that. I remember when we were working together in that department, and I'm like, this is just Jesus. Another quick example, there are actually two young men, the one just shy as he could be at the time. I felt like, you know, I should just befriend him. He's one of these kids who you go up and you walk in a room, they don't look even in the eye, their faces are down into a phone. So after a few times of that, I just walked up to him, put my hand in front of his phone, looked him right in the face, and I said, hi, I'm Carolyn, what's your name? And he looked up and startled at me, and he gave me his name, you know. And that started out a relationship where over a period of weeks, and I wasn't always in that lunchroom, but when I was, you know, many times I felt like I needed to sit down and share with him rather than doing what I wanted to do, which was just go to a quiet place and not have to have talking, because that's the nature of our business. There's a lot of talking.
Yes.
Sometimes
quiet.
It wasn't. Anyway, I would feel like today you need to sit down and talk with this young man. Well, one day as I was leaving out of the lunchroom, and just clear as I'm talking to you, but in my spirit, the Holy Spirit dealt with me to ask him about going to church. And so I was halfway out the door, and I swiveled and looked at him, and I said something like, ever think about coming to church with me, or something like that. And again, he always looked so startled. He just looked up and he startled. He says, well, he says, I guess. He says, I have no reason I couldn't. So at the end of the day, as I was leaving, he had apparently already left, and it had to, just because of how things are in our parking lot. As I was heading out, here he came from the other direction, just coming fast as he safely could, waving this card I'd given to him as I was heading out. And he's waving this card, and he's saying, I know right where this is. He said, this is near my house. I'll be there this Sunday. And Jessica, he continued. Now, this is almost 3 years ago. He continued coming until one day he looked at me and he said, what would it take for me to be baptized? And so we talked after church with the pastor. They made sure that he knew why he was getting baptized, you know, what it means to place our faith in Christ. And since that time, he has become one of the leaders in our young adult group at the church. He's about to have the baton handed over to him from one of the current leaders to actually start heading up a young men's Bible study. It just gives me goosebumps. I'll tell you one more quickly.
Yes.
Why does God have me in a car dealership, right?
So
there's another young man. He and I were talking because he had learned that my mom had written a book, getting the book, or that I'd had it published. And so he said, I'd really like to read that. And I said, okay, well, sure. I said, I'll bring you a copy. After he had read, he would see me and he'd say, I'm being very careful. He says, I'm not writing in it, but he says separately, he says, I just got all these notes, all these questions. And he said, would it be okay if we could just meet sometime over lunch and I could just ask you questions? Yeah. I said, well, that'd be great. We ended up meeting 3 times. Most of his questions had to do with her walk with God, because the whole point of the memoir is when we take God seriously, he takes us seriously. And this young man was very, I can't say hostile to God, but according to him, had a lot of people that I have to be careful how I say this, a lot of people that were doing talking without walking out their faith. So he's very, very skeptical. But he said, as I'm reading, and he says, your mother, he said, she would talk with God and God would answer her. And he says, she was in a really, really hard place. And I said, yes, she was. And he said, but he said, how God saw her through. And then he says, because it's her memoir, so I'm, you know, in and out of this book. He said, and you were part of this. You were there while a lot of this was happening. And I said, yes. And he said, how did that impact you? So to see just, you know, some of these little examples I'm giving, but to see why sometimes God has us in a place where he needs us to be not whining, oh Lord, you know, he needs us to be excited. He needs us to be on point. He needs to have us, while we're being faithful, have our antenna up so we can be looking ready to speak into a situation if he gives us the opportunity.
Yeah, because he didn't call us to change everyone's lives every minute that we meet someone. And like you were saying in the beginning, like, not every opportunity is for us to walk into. But when the Lord does have us in situations where we go, Lord, I don't know why I'm here, but use me, then we get to plant seeds. And if we are so effervescent in our Christianity, in our faith, that it is just bubbling up and people can see that without even us mentioning the word Jesus, they see something different in us. Those are the seeds that we get to plant for others. And then I love those stories are so amazing, because it's the gentle ways that we get to share what the Lord is doing in our lives without proselytizing in an over, what am I trying to say? We don't have to shove it down their throat. We can just be who we are, because we're so full of Jesus. It just comes out.
Well, the thing that I find, most of the people in my department, they're probably 20s. There's one 30 something and one guy that's very close to 40, but most of them are 20 something. And to run down, you know, people in their 20s, it's to say that the worldview that they bought into in so many cases has, let's say there's going to be a program at church, Christmas program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if I bring in, which I will, bring in like a little card, invitation card, saying, you know, I'm the Christmas program, you would think that I had brought in a can of Raid and I was going after bugs. Like, I don't know if you remember the old Raid.
Goodness. Yes, but, yes.
They just don't know hardly what to do. And so, if God can help us to have a heart of passion, which I do have for these young people, what has gone on or what is going on in their lives that they are that, I don't know if the word is resistant, but it's beyond resistant. There is a resistance there, but it's almost like they're traumatized by what to me is just something as simple as, would you like to come to a Christmas program? So then on a daily basis, as I'm interacting with them, I'm trying to, and of course, you know, part of our faithfulness as believers is working. When we're in a workplace, showing up on time, doing our job well, I mean, that's a part of it. So we have to have a balance, because, as you know, we are there to be on kingdom business, but part of our kingdom business is to be faithful to the employer. And so while walking that kind of a tightrope, I do try to listen and understand what is going on. Well, as I listen and I hear about the level of, well, I mean, real trauma, I'm not going to a church. What has happened in some of these young people's lives that has them, when you mention anything that has to do with the church, you know, they're just kind of freaked out. There's no question that they know that I'm a believer in Christ. In fact, sometimes it gets to be a little bit amusing because they, to be as young as they are, they have, most of them have real potty mouths. But they'll more potty mouths with them each other, and then they'll look at me and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that." Mm-hmm. That type of thing. So yeah, I mean, I think, because only the Holy Spirit knows what's going on inside of a person.
Right.
So I think if we're tippy-toeing around trying to be quote unquote careful not to offend somebody, that's not our job. Our job is to obey God. Yep. And so he may say, I need you to speak into this. And inside we may be like, Lord, are you sure? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about this, but if we know for certain, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then he can use us, because if we don't speak, Jessica, you know what I'm saying? If the Lord is saying, I need a voice here.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have our voice, then all they have is whatever it is that they've embraced.
Right.
And much of that is very destructive. Some of it is quite dangerous.
Yeah.
So it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be there.
Yeah.
The last year and a half, I've just been saying, Lord, what does the next season look like?
Mm.
Sometimes I would just feel discouraged because I would not despondent, but I'd feel kind of discouraged because I feel like, what should I be looking forward to?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he gave me the opportunity this past February, which is a total miracle, that would take your whole broadcast and two or three others. So we won't go too far here. But when he gave me this amazing opportunity at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. So there I was in this environment again, because part of my background is in broadcasting. So here I was again with people of like mind and heart and passion and linking arms, and how can we take what we each have and network together? How can we share with and learn from one another to advance the good news of the gospel? So the fact that God got me there is a whole miracle story in and of itself.
Mm.
But then as I was standing sharing in this booth, because the Lord allowed me to have a booth to showcase. As I was there, I was just so, I said, Lord, this is a sweet spot. And I said, I would love to be doing this kind of thing all the time. Because I love public speaking. I love broadcasting. I love communication, that whole field. So there's been this feeling like, what is the next season like? Mm. And then when he allowed me to get to the convention, it's like, here's something that, you know, that you can anticipate, but it's not yet. I've got to have faith on this right now. Because if I can't trust you now, I'm not going to be able to trust you for the next step.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the things with that yes, but not quite. When the Lord finally showed me that, and if I will put in the show notes what episode it is that I talk about the yes, but not quite season. But when the Lord finally revealed that to me, that yes, I was on the right path. Yes, I was doing the right things that he had asked me to do, but it wasn't quite there. And it's just beautiful how he allows things that we've gone through to just kind of stack up and all be used in culmination together for something even bigger than we can even imagine, even when we don't know, like you working at a car dealership, right? You probably didn't think, oh, well, I'll probably make it to this, you know, this NRB and meet all these, right? Like, but because of your faithfulness in the small things, the Lord can trust us in the bigger things. And so when we put our yes on the table and say, God, use me however, even in the not quite seasons, we can trust him because he's been faithful in the past. And so we can use that to look forward and go, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I absolutely don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. I trust you. And so were there any specific ways that you saw God providing when you chose to say yes to whatever could be out there next for you?
Oh my goodness. I hope what I'm about to say answers your question. If not, just redirect me.
You're good.
By being there, well, number one, it's put me in contact with people such as you that I never would have
met. Yes.
It put me into direct contact actually with quite a few national media people. So I've at the convention had several media interviews and then have had quite a few podcasts since then. Probably one of the biggest ones, there's an awarding company called the prestigious International Hope Book Awards, and meeting that woman who's the president and CEO of the company, she came to the booth and she said, I was so drawn to your booth, because the booth, the marketing, I guess we'll call it, is the book cover, which was, you know, just like life size.
Yes.
And she said, I was so drawn to that cover. And she thought, I want to find out more about this. As a result, she actually read it. And I say it like that because she said, I have a team of people who read the books to help me to, you know, in reviewing to decide who might or might not get an award.
Oh, sure.
Well, the long story short is, to my complete astonishment, about a month after I'd been at NRB, she sent me an email just saying, your book has won Best Memoir of Hope and Resilience.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow.
So I guess my point is, it's not all about us. When we're involved in something like that, God has us there for other people. The one precious man, he had just written a book. He didn't have a booth. He just had some books. And he was just kind of walking around talking to people. And when he came to my booth, we got to sharing, well, this is a dad. God had taught him so much from the time his daughter was just a baby girl. She's now married, but
yeah.
And so he had written, it's just a beautiful, simple book that is a kind of like a guide to dads. It's not preachy. It's not heavy. It's just things that this man learned and how he could encourage other dads. So when I got back, I'm thinking, okay, in this dealership, who's just had a baby or who's about to have a baby?
So
I'm trying to give man's book to some of our young dads that are here.
Yeah.
So that I can see in terms of being used of God in the next season. I've said for a long time, I think how the Apostle Paul says one's an eye, one's an ear, the other's a toe, and all these different things.
Mm-hmm. Obviously. Yeah.
I think I'm a joint because I like I love connecting people. So helping get this precious brother's book into people's hands. And then, particular Saturday, because it was the 4th of July, I actually got to be off and go out on a picnic rather than being at work. And
nice.
That's what I say. And while I was in the home of a dear friend, her son, he's in his in-between season. Now he's only 19. He's being faithful in a job that he's working, but where his heart is, where his passion is to write books, but using video, like video stories that have good moral lessons. Because he said, he said, it's my age. He said, we've just been fed and we bought into so many lies. But he says, we're very visual. We tend to be really visual. And so he said, this is what's on my heart. So we're sharing. I mean, I'm taking him very seriously. Number one, I know a lot about his mother. She and her husband have just done this marvelous job by God's grace.
Children.
But there was a seriousness about this young man where I kept thinking again about the convention. And I said, you know what? I said, I was at a convention in February. And I said, there were people like you whom God has gifted, but in story writing and using video. And I was telling him about how that this convention, all different, there are filmmakers,
all sorts,
all these types of folks that were there. And I said, you know what? And he said, what? And you could just see, it was so precious. He said, what? I said, what I can see, I said, is if you're faithful in the place where you are, because right now he's working in a very, what might be considered kind of mundane job.
Yeah.
Is where he's earning, money. I said, if you're faithful there, I said, I can see, I said how one day God could help you to partner with one of these kinds of people that I just met a few months ago. And I said, the two of you could take what God's put in your heart and just take it way beyond what you have any idea.
Yeah.
I overheard him. He didn't know I could hear him. I was in a different room. But I overheard him say to his mother, he said, she listened to me. And she said, and he encouraged me. And it was just so wonderful to talk to her. And I kept overhearing him saying, and she listened to what I had to say.
Yeah.
I thought, Lord, this is so precious.
Yeah.
And so so that God saying, I'm going to do what seems to you almost impossible. Nothing's impossible with God.
You know nothing. Yeah.
When the Lord made it clear that I was to get to that convention against all probability. And he said, this is for you. And if you'll trust me step by step by step, I will get you there. Only he knew that months afterwards, I was going to be talking to a young man who, for all I know, maybe people have just said, ah, that's really nice. You know, isn't that sweet?
Yeah. I love that through your not quite, you don't know what the next step is, but you're like, Lord, I trust you. I love that you're able to pour into so many other people into what they need to hear because you know that God is faithful because, you know, you remember all of these accounts that he has been so faithful in your life and you know that. So you're spreading that seed to all of these other people and showing them and teaching them in ways that you have already learned. And I love the stories. And I especially love that you've shared so many because I feel like a lot of times we'll hear, well, this is what you should do, or this is where you should go, or this is how you should feel in this situation. But we don't hear a lot of, well, this is what I'm actually doing to live this out and not just talk about it. Right. And so I love that you've shared all those stories, which is why I'm like not stopping you at all. But but we are wrapping up here, but I have a couple more questions. No, you got to come back because we got to talk some more. But what would you say to someone who feels the pressure to make things happen? Because I know that you've probably felt this same way too, but what would you say to someone that tries to do that instead of trusting in the Lord's timing? Because sometimes that's really hard.
Oh my goodness. I'd say, keep your little nasty hands off of God's word.
Yes.
Because, and I can tell the way you're laughing, you've been here.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I'm the kind of person where I like to plan. Yeah. So I have planned myself almost into a nervous breakdown in the past. In the past. Where, you know, it looks good. Now, what we want to do is we want to get this, we get this in line, and then we'll get this person here. Many years ago, Jessica, the Lord dealt with me two words. He said, beware, because he's talking to me. He's not saying, you know, in general. He said, I need you to beware of presumption and impetuousness. Presumption and impetuousness. And so this journey this past year that started in like September-ish, I guess, of 2025, when the Lord began to make clear, he wanted me to get to this convention. I was like, Lord, you certainly are not talking to me, right?
I think we got a wrong wavelength here.
I mean, you know, we're not talking about David Jeremiah or Mary Texas. Talking about me at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Lord, hello. But when he just kept making it so clear, the way I described it to people, I kept saying, every time I have my natural inclination to grab and manipulate, I said, I get kind of tickled at myself. I'm like, you have no idea what God's doing. You can't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know how this is even possible. It's like being on a people mover in an airport. It's just moving you along.
Yeah.
And so that was how it was. It was like being on a moving carpet where God was moving. He bring in people. I kept saying, this is open-handed. This is an open-handed walk. Yeah. There's nothing that's grabbing or grab, because every time I would be tempted to do that, you know, when certain money needed to be do at a certain time. Mm-hmm. You know, when the thoughts start coming, well, let me think here. Maybe I could talk to so-and-so, or maybe I could take money out of savings that I was putting towards, you know, as soon as that kind of stuff would start to come, and the spirit, he would just remind me, this is my doing. And if you get in my way, this is not going to work. This is not going to go well for you, because it's way beyond the logistics to get there, pay for a hotel, on and on and on and on and on. Yeah. It had to be got. So I had to know, is I had everybody I could think of that I felt would really pray. I said, you know what? I said, this has got to be, this can't be me thinking up. Wouldn't it be nice? I said, I must know if God is in this. So I would say to anybody, Jessica, number one, you've got to know, because we all have heart desires. You've got to know if whatever it is God really in it? And it doesn't make any difference. It may be somebody you're thinking about you want to marry. It may be a job that you think you might want to have. It might be a car you think you want to buy, or a house you want to buy. We need to know, is this just something that's just coming up out of my spirit, up out of the flesh? Because if we're walking in the light, you know, the word says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus, it continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness, allows us to have fellowship with one another. It also keeps us safe if we're in the light. And then if we get out, it's not the same as, oh, well, let's see, I was at the grocery store and I decided to get yogurt rather than cottage cheese this week. No, I'm talking about taking out a mortgage on a house. I'm talking about, you know, marrying somebody that's
much bigger
in my life. Yeah. And keeping our little nasty hands out of it. Let him guide, let him direct, let him help us to make sure.
I love that. Well, Carolyn, just know that you are definitely going to be coming back, because I know that you are just chock full of so many more amazing stories that we can relate to. This has been already just such a beautiful conversation, and I'm so thankful that we made this happen today and that you are here with us. And, you know, I keep thinking about how many people are in that space right now, is that they're in they've said yes to God, or they've heard from the Lord and they know that something's gonna be happening, but they're still waiting to see what he's going to do with it. And your story it reminds us that even in the waiting, God is working and we can be working. Yeah. I think waiting is not a passive thing. It is an active thing that we can still be doing. And he's not distant from us, and he's not silent. He's always leading and providing and, you know, stepping up and showing us exactly what he wants for us. And we just have to be still and know that he has it, and keep your grubby hands off of it. I love that. So as we do wrap up, I want to ask you the question that I ask every guest on the podcast, and that is, what is one perspective that you would encourage listeners to apply today?
If I might share just a little bit of scripture, is that all right?
Yes, please. Yes.
This is Zechariah chapter 4. Zerubbabel was the governor after the children of Israel had come back. It says that the angel of the Lord was talking with Jeremiah, and he says about some symbolic items. He was asking, he says, do you know what these are? And the prophet said, no. He says, what are they? And he said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. So he was to speak to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.
Yeah.
And then it says, what are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground, and then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it. God bless it. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. It says, then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. And I would like to leave that with our listeners, Jessica, because we need to know it's not by our might and it's not by our power, but it is by the Lord. but also we sometimes will despise the small things.
Yes.
The details, the what look to us like little things, but we don't know what's little in the kingdom. There are any chain, there are links. So the link is many times that we're despising. And God says, oh, no, don't despise that. No. I need that link.
Yes.
I'm doing a mighty work, but it's by my might, not your might.
Right. And when we look back at that, we can see those links and how powerful and impactful that they are for the next chain to link up to. And that's that not quite is that link is the, oh man, I don't know, Lord, what you're doing, but I trust you. And this chain link has been good. And this next one, that's what that is. And so I love that you shared that. Thank you so much. Friend, I hope that this conversation encouraged you to trust God in the waiting. You don't have to force what he's already planned. If he's calling you, he will lead you. If he's leading you, he will confirm it. And if he confirms it, he's going to provide for it. Your job is to stay close to him and walk with open hands. If you've been listening for a while and you've thought, I have a story that I would like to share, I would love to hear from you. This podcast is built on real stories and real perspectives, and there's someone out there that needs to hear what God has done in your life. Reach out to me at perspectivesintopractice.com. I would love to hear from you. If this episode encouraged you, please be sure to follow and share it with a friend who might also be in a yes, but not quite season. And remember, even small shifts in perspective can lead to big changes. Now go put those perspectives into practice. Talk to you next time.